Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, there seems to be a weird swampy hum coming from your microphone.
Okay, I think I know what the problem is. There, is that better?
Much better. What did you do?
I just took off the Leon Russell record that was playing in the background.
All right, Patrick, we are in your basement again.
Yeah.
And Nick Scalera is with us again.
It's great. It's great.
He's just been hanging out.
Yep.
And it's Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
It's so great to be back here in the basement. And I get to, Nick and I both, we get to take how many records home today of our choice?
It depends on what you spend when you
Anything
spend the wheel.
Anything from that shelf right there.
Oh, spin the wheel?
Yeah, before you leave, you spin the wheel.
The big wheel?
Yeah, that's right. So you can go for it or whatever you want to do.
That's right.
Get on the express.
Okay, very good. And we're going to do a patron episode today, remotely. Not everyone gets to hang out in the basement like Nick.
Right.
Everyone gets basement privilege. We're going to talk with Scott Parks out there in Indiana. How's it going, Scott?
Hey, good. How's it going, guys?
Good to hear you, man. And when I think of being surrounded by friends and vinyl, I definitely think of Scott Parks. And folks, you got to follow Scott on social media just for his now playing stream. It's one of the best. So good to talk to you, man.
Yeah, same here. I wish I was in the basement with you guys.
So do we. Yeah.
Every time I see those pictures of you guys, you know, coming out of the basement and you know, being in the wild together, I feel super jealous. I wish that I lived closer.
We're lucky, and this community has gotten pretty tight over this pandemic time, for sure.
Yeah. For sure.
Yes. Well, it's good to talk with you, no matter the means. This is great. So good to hang out with Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
I mentioned it's a patron episode. That means that Scott gets to pick the topic as a supporter of the show. And and Scott's also at the level where he gets the records. And I know we owe another batch of records. So now that Patrick is actually able to leave the house.
Back on the loose,
We're going to put him on that. I bought the last couple of batches, but we're going to put Patrick on this next batch for you, Scott. All right?
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, no problem.
All right. So you get to pick the topic. So what's the topic today?
Yeah, so talk about records. You know, I've been buying vinyl for the last several years, 3-4 years. And, you know, you go out to a record store and you dig in the bins and you find artists that maybe you'd never heard of before. And so I had a thought that I would maybe have a series of episodes. You know, maybe every once in a while I'll have an episode about an artist or a band that I discovered by digging the bins. Somebody that I'd maybe heard of but never listened to, or maybe somebody that I had never even heard of before. And so I was going to kind of do the first in this series this time, and it's going to be on Leon Russell, who I had heard the name. I had, you know, seen him in a documentary on Joe Cocker, you know, the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour. He was the band leader for that tour. And so that was like my introduction, really the only thing I knew about Leon Russell until I started buying records. And figured we'd start with Leon because, in my opinion, he's the king of the bargain bins. he's in every bargain bin. You can buy almost all of his records, at least in the 70s. There you go, Leon Live. You can buy almost all of his 70s records for $3 or less, and they're all really, really good. So that's what I wanted to talk about today.
Scott, I love this idea, man. It's great.
And, you know, I've got another one. I'm not going to necessarily mention it, but I've got another one who actually might play a little bit of a role in some of these records, that it would be another one that I've discovered over the last couple of years digging the bargain bin. So,
okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, my introduction to Leon Russell, again, was the documentary on Joe Cocker. Knew the name, had never really listened to the music. Was digging in a bargain bin one day at a place locally, and they had a bargain section that was 10 for 25, so $2.50 a piece. So digging through the bins, finding some garbage, you know, some stuff that there's no way I would ever spend even $2.50 for, and I pull out Leon Russell and the Shelter People. And I'm putting it up for the camera right now, and if you've never seen the cover, go look that up, because you're going to want to buy this record just based on the cover. It's Leon Russell with stars in his eyes. It's amazing. So So I dropped the needle on track one, and like I couldn't believe that I had not heard this song before or any of these songs before, because it sounds like 70s Rolling Stones. It was something that should have been a massive hit, and it might have been at the time, but it never made its way to me as a mid-70s child, you know, growing up listening to classic rock radio. I'd never heard any of these songs. So Stranger in a Strange Land, it kind of blew me away. I love the last like minute of that song, and it's really like relevant today. Well, I don't exactly know what's going on in the world today. I don't know what there is to say about the way that people are treating each other. We're not like brothers. Lead us, take us far away from ecology with mythology and astrology. It's got some words to say about the way we live today. Why can't we learn to love each other and try to learn a new face to the whole worldwide human race and stop the money chase? Lay back, relax, you get back on the human track. Stop racing towards oblivion. Oh, such a sad, sad state we're in. And that's the thing. Do you recognize the bell of truth when you hear it ring? Won't you stop and listen to the children sing? Or won't you sing it, children? Won't you come on and sing it, children? It's just an amazing song. Goes from that to Of Thee I Sing, which is a like basically gospel on speed. It's incredible. I love that song so much. And then goes into a swampy version of It's a Hard Rain Gonna Fall. Tell me where have you been, my blue-eyed son? Where have you been, my darling young one? I've stumbled up on the side of 12 misty mountains. I've walked and I've crawled over 6 crooked highways. I stepped out in the middle of the silver sad forest. I've been out in front. Those 3 tracks hooked me, and I'm like, this is the guy for me, and I'm going to look for more of his records from that point on. So I'm not sure what you guys, what your experience is with this record, but it was the one that, you know, hooked me, and I knew I was going to continue to look for his music.
To me, Leon Russell was one of those guys. He was born in Oklahoma, who was just going to be a musician his whole life, no matter what happened, right? He was born to be a musician. He was like Alex Chilton. He was playing when he was 14, and he was playing in bands in high school. He went to high school with him, we'll forgive him for this, David Gates, who later formed Bread, one of the all-time worst bands ever to walk the face of the earth.
Homer Simpson was a big fan of Bread.
Exactly.
Come on.
I'm kind of with Scott on this. It's like I know the name and I can picture him, and I know he played with a lot of others, but I don't really know his work at all. So I'm very intrigued by this.
He was actually a part of the Wrecking Crew. He's a piano player for the Wrecking Crew and played on Beach Boys records and all those 60s records that they needed a piano player. He was the A-list guy. Come on in. We're going to have a session. When you listen to his solo stuff, though, it's like his piano style is very similar to like Dr. John. And his singing sounds a lot like Dr. John. It's that like growl, that southern, you know, swamp. I bought this one and I'm like, I got to find some more. So I'm looking around at this. It's kind of a weird store. It's the second floor of a dive bar in my hometown. I'm looking in this little, I would call it a record store with quotation marks, because it's really not a record store. It's just some guy that has a bunch of records that he's trying to sell. So I end up finding the self-titled Leon Russell record. It's an iconic cover. It's a blue border with a black and white image of Leon Russell. I dropped the needle on this record, and I couldn't believe what I heard, because the song that I heard was one that I've known for a long time, and it's A Song for You.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhymes. I've acted out my love in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now and I'm singing this song to you.
I knew the Donny Hathaway version. It's probably one of Donny Hathaway's biggest hits. Leon's version, it just blew me away. His piano playing was incredible. His singing's incredible. He's got, again, that swampy voice, that growly voice, and I absolutely love it.
Looking at the track list here, not only do we have another Dylan song, but there's a song called Give Peace a Chance, exactly. Co-written with Bonnie Bramlett. What is that about?
Well, it actually kind of like goes into the Give Peace a Chance that John Lennon and Yoko Ono did. It kind of brings a lot of that same kind of stuff and kind of that same chant of Give Peace a Chance that that they did back in the early 70s. So, yeah, it actually literally is kind of it's not a cover of his stuff, but it's very similar to what they did, you know, when they were kind of in that bed and they, you know, weren't moving and, you know, and he also wrote a lot of songs that other people covered. Delta Lady is a song that Joe Cocker covered on, I think, the Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour, I believe. I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure he covered that on that tour. And, you know, there's a bunch of other songs later on in his career that he wrote that he played, and then other people made huge hits out of them. Some of them kind of sound maybe like 70s, you know, soft rock by these other people. His versions are a lot better. So I bought those. Those are my first two records. From that point forward, I'm a very weird person. I like listening to things in order. So if I buy a record out of order, I don't usually listen to it until I at least get one that is either next in line or close to next in line. So the next in line after and again, I listened to these two in the exact opposite order, but the next one after Shelter People was Carney, which I don't know if you've ever seen this cover. He looks like a demented clown. He's a big bearded man, but with white face paint.
Yes. Like baskets. Looks like baskets.
Yeah, right. It looks like baskets. So it's a tambourine, yeah. I believe. I think it's a tambourine. But it's, it's a crazy cover. I love it. And I dropped the needle on that. And I've actually heard, amazingly, I've heard track number one, which is Tightrope.
I'm up on a tight wire. One side's ice and one is fire. It's a circus game with you and me. I'm up on a tightrope. One side's hate and one is hope. But the top hat on my head is all you see. And the wire seems to be the only place for me. A comedy of errors and I'm falling. Like a rubber-necked giraffe, you look into my past. Well, maybe you're just too blind to see, I'm up in the spotlight. Oh, does it feel right? Well, the altitude seems to get to me. I'm up on a tight wire, flanked by life and the funeral pyre, putting on a show for you to see.
might be familiar with Tightrope, if you, you know, maybe you don't know the name of it, but Tightrope is an incredible song. It's one of the best songs that I think he wrote ever. I just love it. It does have a little bit of like circus sound to it. Again, the album's called Carney. A little bit of a circus sound to it. And the record as a whole kind of has a little bit of circus sound. You know, and I looked it up. I think this song hit, this record hit Billboard 200 number 2 in 1972. So I don't understand how I had never heard him or heard of him, because back in 1972 he had the number 2 record in the land. You know, but he always played with really great musicians. Jim Keltner played drums on this. Again, he played piano, guitar. There's, you know, we'll see some other musicians a little bit later on that he played with. I know at some point I think he had Clapton on one of his records, and maybe Ringo Starr was on some of his records. He's somebody that I think maybe people knew about back then and was just kind of lost to time for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, too, he was so talented. Like, everything was so effortless for Leon Russell when he played these styles, right? It all made sense to him, but he was probably, you know, a few light years ahead of where people were thinking that these styles could merge and, you know, seem effortless and all that.
Huh.
Well, and it's interesting that you would say that, because the next one that came out was a record called Stop All That Jazz. And as you can see, and, you know, people on Zoom can see, my cover is destroyed. You know, this was a water damaged cover. And that's, you'll see that a lot with Leon Russell records. You're going to see covers that are literally like shredded. You can barely even read any of the stuff on the back.
That's so funny, because Patrick's here is kind of
my live triple gatefold album is barely holding together by threads.
I'm afraid to handle it. It's going to disintegrate in my hands. Yeah.
I've got some that you pick up and the record falls out of the bottom because, again, it's just destroyed. Right. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they've lived good lives.
Well, that's
records.
True.
Well,
I
that's true. Yeah. Most
I was at a lot of parties.
That's right.
Yeah.
They just need some love, Scott.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the Charlie Brown Christmas tree.
Anyway, the Stop All That Jazz has several covers. It's got Streaker's Ball, which I'm pretty sure is from Shel Silverstein. I'm pretty sure he wrote that song. I might be wrong about that, but I want to think that at least he played that song. He had a record called Streaker's Ball. But the one song on this one that really struck me, it's another Dylan cover, and it's The Ballad of Hollis Brown. Yay!
Hollis Brown, he lived on the outside of town. Hollis Brown, he lived on the outside of town. With his wife and 5 children in a cabin broken down. And he looked for work and money, and he walked a ragged mile. Look for work and the money, and he walked a ragged mile. And the children are so hungry, they don't even know how to smile. The baby's eyes look crazy, they're tugging at your sleeve. The baby's eyes look crazy, and
you said that it's kind of like maybe he was doing things that were a little bit futuristic. I'm not kidding. When I think, when I hear the song, it almost sounds like it's EDM. It's almost like electronic dance music, just in the fact that it's got this like backbeat and it's really tribal sounding. And in fact, I believe the Gap Band was the band that was behind him on this, and he's playing the Moog. And you can hear all these, like, these, you know, voices in the background. It's very, very tribal. It's an incredible version of a song that Dylan did with just a guitar. It's so incredible. He also does Wild Horses on this. And it's a way different version of Wild Horses than you could imagine. Again, kind of swampy, kind of. He threw a pedal steel in there, but it's definitely pretty swampy. So I wouldn't say that All That Jazz, Stop All That Jazz, is one of my favorites of his, but a couple of these songs are just like so different than anything he did before that it's definitely something that somebody should check out. So especially the Ballad of Hollis Brown. It's so, I'm going to say, weird for the mid-70s for someone to make a record that basically just had this droning beat in the background, like something you would hear today in a dance club. And again, it's a folk song that Dylan wrote.
What do you think that connection with Russell and Dylan was?
I don't know. I mean, again, I wasn't around during that time, but I think good songwriters just kind of gravitated towards Dylan,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
he was the gold standard of songwriters back in the late 60s, mid 60s, early 60s, you know, early 70s. He was the gold standard. And so if you're a songwriter, you're looking to Dylan and you're just kind of saying, man, I can't do that just by myself. So I'm going to kind of take your stuff and I'm going to change it around a little bit.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, he recorded this in 74, which that's kind of way past those folky days of Dylan.
Totally.
Dylan was almost to, he was like, was he even recording in 74? I don't remember.
No, he wasn't. That was pre Blood on the Tracks. Yeah.
Blood on the Tracks came out in 75.
Yep.
So he was kind of like dormant there for
a little bit.
Yep. And so maybe he was trying to bring Dylan back too. Who knows?
Good point. I have no idea.
Yeah,
good point.
Yeah.
Plus, Dylan was just fun to play his songs.
Well, yeah.
Well,
and
yes.
His songs are so good.
Yeah.
You know, they have meaning. And, you know, again, going back to the second record, the first one I had looked there had gotten, the Leon Russell and the Shelter People. Like, I can't believe that record came out 50 years ago, because the first track, Stranger in a Strange Land, it feels like it could have been released today, because that's how I kind of feel sometimes. Like, mm-hmm. I'm living in a time where there are people that believe things that I don't believe, and it feels like I don't even live in the same country that I lived in for the majority of my life. So
yeah.
Who knows, you know?
Dylan stuff also, I think, lends itself to interpretations too, right? So
that's a great point,
yes.
Jim.
Yes.
Yeah. 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 Okay. I think in some ways so big, so broad, you know, so American that, yeah, everybody felt like they could take
almost
it
doesn't
up.
Matter what style of music you
right.
play.
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
songs there that you can put your
yeah.
your own spin on.
Good
so,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one I got was World of the Wisp. That was the next one that came after Stop All That Jazz. When you talk about bargain bins, I got this for free. It was sitting at a record store, and I picked it up and I said, "How much?" He said, "You can have it." The cover is trash. I can open it up like a gatefold, but it's not a gatefold.
Yeah.
But the vinyl itself is like, it's pristine. Like
nice.
It's almost like no one ever played it.
Nice.
It's not my favorite. He's got some decent songs on here. Back to the Island is pretty cool. Bluebird is probably my favorite on this. Lady Blue is a song that he wrote that I think Helen Reddy might have recorded it. Other people have recorded that song, but you know, it's a decent record, but it's definitely not one of my favorites. And then the last one I've got, you mentioned it already, Patrick, was Willie and Leon.
Yep,
nice.
One for the Road.
Nice.
So, double LP. It's all covers. They kind of covered artists that they kind of grew up on. Hank Williams, Elvis. You know, there's some other artists, but their cover of I Saw the Light is incredible. I think it was actually nominated for Best Inspirational Song for the Grammys, I believe. And I think this record might have been nominated for Best Country Record for the Grammys, or maybe CMA, something like that. But I think the best song is their version of Heartbreak Hotel.
Well, since my baby left me, I found a new place as well. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, baby. I get so lonely, I could die. Although it's always crowded, you still can find some room.
so lonely, baby. I get so lonely I could die.
Never been a huge Elvis fan, but their version of Heartbreak Hotel, it just kind of hits me, and it just makes me enjoy that song a little bit more. So, but yeah, that's kind of my journey through Leon Russell for now. I have nothing past 79. I do have a couple other ones that aren't just him. He had a band with another person called Asylum Choir, and it's totally different than anything else he did. And he also released a couple of records with his wife. I have one of that, and it's not that great. So I didn't really want to kind of like mention it. But yeah, I don't know. It's just fun finding artists and bands that you maybe have heard the name, never heard the music, and then bring it home, drop the needle. And it's something that you actually like get a lot of enjoyment out of.
All right, let's get out of here. Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you, Scott.
And,
thank
we'll
you,
talk
guys.
With you again soon. And we know there's a big listener gathering coming up in Chicago, out near you.
Yeah.
And so please take a lot of photos and report back on that.
Absolutely.
What is the date of that?
It's in November. I think it's November 12th.
Oh, that's until November. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
We got
some
time.
Yeah. November 12th, Guided by Voices at Thalia Hall. There's going to be several people that are part of the podcast group, and it's going to be a great time.
It's awesome.
So you guys will have been back from Summer Spot Fest for like three weeks by then. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. Thanks very much. If any listeners want to comment on Leon Russell, we'd love to hear it. You can call, leave a message, 612-440-1984. Yep. Or email rock@suburbspod.com or comment on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram @suburbspod. All right. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. You're Jim Lenahan.
I'm Jim Lenahan. That's right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenahan.
I'm Patrick Bostick.
With us has been
Nick Scalera
and
Scott Parks.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Talk to you all later.
With a smile, just like a river, rolling softly to the sea. When she blows away my problem, she helps to take a little weight off me. Now when she's happy, I'm heaven. If she's down, she'll never say, 'cause she knows I'm treading water. Guess she feels I'm better off that way. But when sadness overcomes me, I'm blinded by the night. Oh, she takes my hand and leads me to the light. And she whispers in the morning, she knows the words to say. She keeps me looking forward to a new day. So I try just to be a lover, and I hope she understands when I hurt her and I make her crazy that I'm just an ordinary man.
And please do not add that as the end credit.